It's the late night version of the news, according to me. Well, good evening. It is, what is this? I think it's Monday. I guess it's Monday. This is kind of the late show on Monday. This is supposed to be an early show. It's the late show. I'm considering an experiment. Considering doing this show this evening and then having it post tomorrow morning. However, I'm also going to be up tomorrow morning early, and I'm kind of wondering if I should just do another show and seeing which show does the best. I'm not sure what to do with that. Just don't know. Right now I have something in my cup, and it's going to be the same thing in my cup tomorrow morning. Well, actually, tomorrow morning is going to be juice, probably. I have, I'm hearing some kind of noise outside. It's like the highway is not very far away from where this hotel room is. And I'm in Peoria, Illinois, by the way. And there's lots of road noise here. Kind of annoying. It's annoying road noise. I came up with a new term today. You've heard the term of, you've heard about women who are kind of, they just say they call them Karens. Karens, the Karens of the world. Get this new term come up with. I'm going to call it Karenoid. It can go a couple different ways. It's like you're concerned about Karen popping up and yelling at you or chewing you out. That's like paranoid. And then there's the Karenoid, which is more like just annoyed. You're just annoyed by Karen. Just an annoying Karen. Now, there's the Karens that have like the authority to actually mess up your life. That would be, more like paranoid of those people. And then there's the Karenoids that are, you're just, it's concerning that they're, they're just annoying. Just pesky. Not people who can actually affect your life at all, just annoying. Anyway, so in my cup, I have this, I'm going to look over here. See, I've got this, I had the opportunity, can you hear me? Can you still hear me? I had the opportunity to go to a place called Moe's today here in Peoria. And I wouldn't have chosen it. I think it's supposed to be like, I was told it was a barbecue place, but it's actually more of like a Mexican restaurant. It has more, where's the trash can? I have, I'm opening up something right now. Can you hear that? I'm sure this is fresh from the cow. It's chocolate milk. Farm Life, Fair Life, they call it. Fair Life chocolate milk is what I'm going to be drinking here for a little bit. Well, I ended up going to this place, and I had a salad with grilled chicken in it. It's actually pretty good. I have to say it was pretty good. I'm not big on, chips and salsa stuff, but this was actually, everything was pretty, it was kind of like a Subway, but kind of built it on your own. There's burritos and all that stuff there, and I just didn't feel like a burrito. This salad with chicken in it was like, they have a Moe's Monday, I guess is what it's called. I ended up getting this bowl thing. It had rice and beans and lettuce, cheese, sour cream, and grilled chicken. And I got to say, it was pretty good. I ate the whole thing. And then, of course, that was about noon. Then I went stumbling out here, about 6 o'clock. I came back, worked out, took a nap. And then worked out a little bit more. And then I went for a long walk. I went to walk, both these places were, Moe's was about a mile away. So I had to walk a mile each way. And then I went down a little further than that was a place called, you might have heard of it, maybe it's they've been around for a while. It's called Chick-fil-A. Went there, ate more chicken. I'm eating chicken today. Today's chicken, Chicken Monday. And then I had some chicken there, had a chicken sandwich. And then I ended up going to there's a Costco right across the street there, so I just swung by over there, did some shopping. I usually don't buy anything. When I'm traveling, I typically don't buy much at all. I did buy something for the little woman. The little woman at home. Got something for her. I'm not going to say what it is, because if she listens to the show, she'll find out. It's going to be kind of a surprise. I did tell her I bought her something, but I didn't tell her what it was. So she'll be all giddy till, you know, all excited about it. You know, what am I going to get? I'm sure she won't be able to sleep tonight. So I had this, I just walked around Costco for a while. Then I walked back here. And it was about 40 degrees, and wind was blowing. I think the wind chill was about 25 below zero on the way back. I didn't bring a coat, I should have bought a coat at Costco. I would have had to throw it away because I don't have room for it in my bag. So I would have ended up, it was kind of an interesting little trip. I had it was a good evening. Just had a good evening. I had ended up watching some videos on some political issues, political events around the country. And one of the things that, first of all, there may be a future for me at Twitter now. I'm going to wait for a little while and see how this all pans out. But apparently, of course, we know that Elon Musk now is taking over Twitter, and the left is, their heads are blowing. They're going nuts. They think this is the end of the world. I'm not going to be on Twitter anymore. I'm not sure if I want to stay on Twitter or not. We're going to have all this misinformation on there now. Don't you think you'd want to be in an arena where you could actually, you know, tell the truth? No, they don't want to be on a platform. The problem is they don't want to be on a platform where their ideas are challenged. That's what they don't like. It's not about having a platform where they can say whatever they want to and say that, you know, speak the things that report on the things that they want to report on, or to engage in any kind of dissent with anyone who's speaking things that they don't like. They just simply want those people quiet. Oh, you're going to talk about Hunter Biden's laptop. Oh, no, that's all conspiracy theory. No, it's not. And that's what they want. They want to have that kind of control, and they're not sure they want to be a part of a platform, even, that allows. And I think Stelter was one of the people. Well, so you get invited to a party where it says anybody can do whatever they want, and they just, there's no rules. Just do whatever you want. I don't think you want to go to that kind of party. Fine, don't go there. Just stay off of it then. I guess you're going to tell everybody what they think, what you think they should do. This happens quite often. Even on the right, this happens. And this is why I listen very carefully sometimes to the way people talk. I was listening to a particular pundit who's very popular on Fox News. I'm not going to mention his name, but it rhymes with Sean. And he was talking about, I think, you know, he gets on this, it's kind of a high horse thing, I call it. Where he's like, well, I think people should be allowed to do this, and people should be able to do this. Well, you're not the king of the world, and you're not the king of me, so why are you saying what you think people should be allowed to do? It's, again, if you want to talk about the principles of the country, I even heard, and here's what, the reason that this aggravates me, and because people like this are concerning to me, on both sides of the aisle, is that, I've heard Sean mention before that, well, you know, I think anybody should be able to own a gun if they want to. They can own a gun as long as they take some classes and they get trained in the proper use. I'm like, no, that's not what the Second Amendment says, Sean. Like it or not, I mean, you can change the amendment, but until it is changed, you're wrong. The Second Amendment is not about whether or not you've been trained to use that firearm or not. You know, a hammer can be very deadly as well. You can go to the hardware store and you can buy yourself a hammer, and then you can go out, you know, you can do some damage to somebody with that. And yet you're not given any kind of training, or you don't expect someone to get training for that. How to use a hammer. A lawnmower can be pretty dangerous. This is chocolate milk. It's not too bad. It's reduced fat. I'm not so sure it's chocolate milk. I think it's some kind of synthetic thing. I digress. But it aggravates me when people mention things like that and pretend like, well, yeah, but of course, all they're doing is introducing a different set of rules. They may not want the gun control that the left is talking about, but they have their own form of control. No, Sean, sorry. It's not the way it works. You want to change it? Then do it legislatively. Don't just say, this is what I think. And if y'all, because if he was in charge of the world, that's what he would do. Well, I'm sorry, but that you're not in charge of the world, and that's not what the Constitution says. And the founders had a very good reason for not requiring anything. Not, shall not be infringed means no obstruction whatsoever. In owning or carrying. Now, the way you use it, yes, there are restrictions there. That's where the law comes in. Can you use the gun to just go out and willy-nilly shoot you know, squirrels out of the tree in your city? No, you can't. You can't. That's recklessness, because you're endangering people's lives with it. But simply carrying it and owning it is not endangering anybody's life. However, if you do cause some harm that's unjustified, then yes, you go to court and you get, you know, that's what the punishment is for, is to deter people from being reckless with their firearms. But they don't get this principle. It's like their eyes have not been completely open to the hypocrisy, even on their own side. It's very troublesome to me. I just, yeah. But that's my little high horse about the whole thing where people start talking like that. Now, apparently, on another subject, there's several subjects I'm kind of randomly trying to figure out what I want to talk about here, because there's so much I can talk about. That's when it starts to get a little tricky. When you got about 32 topics you could talk about, and let's just go through some headlines here. Let's see what I've got here on the old subscriptions in the YouTube bucket. Oh, one of the things I want to talk about, this has been kind of a big story for me. If you've listened to this podcast for any length of time, you have heard me speak warnings several times about Kevin McCarthy. The man is a snake. He's a rhino. He's a phony. I can tell by the way he talks, especially when he's talking to the American people, when he's giving a speech. And again, this comes back to this whole thing of, I got this uncanny, weird kind of voice detector thing going on in my head. When I hear somebody speak, I can tell when they're not being genuine. I can tell when there's hokey pokey going on. So there's something underlying problem happening here. And I'm not saying that in a judgmental way. It's just, I'm just saying there's this like kind of a automatic truth detector that goes off in my head. And so Kevin McCarthy was coming out and saying, no, this report is being, this is being, your this report is wrong that I said all these things. I said this or said that, or that I asked that Trump, you know, resign, or that all this stuff that was being said. Well, guess what? There's actual audio now of Kevin McCarthy. Actual audio of what he said and the attitude in which he talked. Now, what I think was going on here is that Kevin McCarthy was trying to corral and play both sides of the fence here and talk to Liz Cheney and play the compassionate one, or to kind of bridge the gap to some extent, to keep the party together, to keep her on, you know, because she's 100% establishment. And I would say not even, she's just like big government establishment, not even Republican establishment. She's just big government establishment owned by, if you dug into some of the finances in terms of the Cheney family, of course, you're going to find, you know, the military complex, industrial military complex behind everything. Halliburton was, Cheney was her, Liz's dad, the former VP. He was a head honcho. He's one of the big shots at Halliburton. So, in the midst of all this, you have Kevin McCarthy. You know, he's saying the stuff he was saying about Trump and how, you know, he's really tired of this guy. He's had it with this guy. Can I ask him to resign? Suggest that he resign, whatever. He can't tell the president what to do. But that was his opinion. Now, all of a sudden, he's gotten very quiet about it. He's still saying, "Well, that wasn't the nature. This is a bad report." He's still kind of leaning on this whole thing of that wasn't, you know, what I said was wasn't what I said. Well, what you said was what you said. We all heard it. Now we've all heard it. Now the question is, who recorded that conversation and who let it leak? This was a direct phone call to Liz Cheney. So who do you think recorded it? And who do you think leaked it? Liz Cheney. If I was Kevin McCarthy right now, the person I would be most upset with would not be President Trump. It would be Liz Cheney. You want to make a deal with a serpent, don't be surprised when you get stung. And he's been stung. Do you think that'll change him? No. He'll probably kowtow to whatever. All of a sudden he's been caught. I'm going to call my representative. I guarantee you this. My House representative in my district. I'm calling her. And I'm going to write emails, calls, whatever it takes. And let them know when they take over the House again in 2022 here, at the end of this year. Actually, be sworn in the beginning of next year. If they vote in Kevin McCarthy as this House Speaker, I will be completely done with the Republican Party. I'm done with them. I'm going to consider myself an independent, or I'm going to consider myself a conservative, a conservative libertarian. I got to say, the Libertarian Party of Indiana, I've been kind of listening to some of the things that they've been doing. I've been listening in on their monthly. They have a monthly meeting, and they put it on. They post it live on YouTube. So I've been listening. I've been listening in on as much as I can. And I like the direction that they're headed. I didn't like the formal Libertarian Party initially because of some of the things that some of the issues. Abortion was one of the biggest one, but I just, I'm hearing different things now coming from the Libertarian Party, and I'm tempted to get involved, actually, with the Libertarian Party in terms of being an organizer, a representative, whatever, that kind of thing. And it's because the voice seems to be tempered now to a better degree. They are very pro and open to religious freedom as well, which has impressed me. They're very concerned about some of those kinds of issues. They're not just standing up. It was, for a while, the Libertarian Party was kind of was almost more like a leftist organization, and some they had some leftist ideals. And I'm not seeing that as much anymore. It's like the leftists are going full bore into the Democrat Party. And the radical leftists especially, they're not, they've gone way out there. Creamy chocolate milk. Nice and creamy. You know, it's weird. I was thinking about David Hogg. And for most of you probably don't think about David Hogg much. He was the kid who happened to be a anti-gun activist who wasn't even in the building the day that the school shooting happened down in Florida, the big one that happened during Obama's presidency. I think it was during Trump's administration, actually. everything was going on down there in, is it Maricopa County? Wherever it was. Not Maricopa. Where was it down in Florida? Yeah. And, of course, David came out, and he was this, he was a little spokesperson. He was the big, he stepped in there, took over. Well, he's an adult now, you know, so you can talk about him now. But he tried to start this pillow company. And of course, it failed miserably. But he had some entrepreneur money guy behind him, the money guy who was going to put up the funds, and they were going to run Mike Lindell out of business. Now, this is typical of the left. They just think that somebody comes along and some big shot with a whole bunch of money, and they have a pillow company. And those people need to be taxed because of, you know, they just make too much money. Because they built their company on all the taxpayer sweat and tears and all the things that they, all these taxpayers went out there and built the roads and did all these things for those people. And they make all this money now based on, you know, with the roads that we paid for. Well, yeah, it's part of the community, but they're the ones who took the risk. They're the ones who made the investment. They're the ones who hired the people who managed their funds, managed the business, did the marketing, took the chances, worked 16 hours a day or more. You know, talk about that kind of work. I mean, Elon Musk is one of those people who literally slept at the Tesla factory. He basically lived there. It was his life. He poured into that. And yeah, he made a success out of it. He was a hardworking guy. Now he's reaping the fruits of that investment. He goes on by his Twitter. Which I think is going to end up being a good thing, I think. It's hard to tell. Elon has a very practical attitude. And I think he's a very fair-minded individual. I think he's tired. I hope he doesn't get too caught up in all the wokeness stuff and fighting one way or one side or the other. I could see it becoming very distracting for him. But at the same time, I think he's got the right attitude for at the right time. I'm seriously considering getting active again on Twitter. But I want to find out here. Next week or two, we'll tell kind of what's going to be happening with Twitter, how they're going to be, whether they're going to be censoring people anymore or not, what's going to happen, who's really in charge and what's going to happen. And I think that I'm pretty much convinced that if things turn the right direction here, I'm going to start actually using Twitter more as well. Now, in the meantime, having said all that, David Hogg tries to come up with a pillow company. And what these people don't realize is the amount of effort, the amount of work that Mike Lindell poured into making pillows and becoming the business that it is today, having the employees that he has today, the network, the marketing, all the things he did, and how the wokeness destroyed that overnight for no reason at all, for all the wrong reasons. They got stores, they bullied stores into dropping him and not stopping sales. So he's now selling direct. It's pathetic the way they destroyed this guy. And here's a guy who worked, you know, poured his life into this company that he built. And David Hogg comes along and thinks, I'm just going to start my own pillow company running my business. Well, that didn't work, did it? Because you haven't paid the price, David. And that's what this is about. That's what America was founded on, was this idea that you can start on welfare, work hard, make some good decisions, continue to work hard and build something, and you turn into a mega company. Not overnight, but after a lot of hard work. And that's part of the good thing about this country. That's what this country was founded on, was this ability for the individual. There's no caste system. You're not stuck in a particular level. I'm hearing my bumper music start up, and maybe it's a good time to end the show on that note. America, and all it stands for. Religious freedom, and the freedom to build something and make something of yourself and be productive. Thank God. And God bless you. God bless the United States. Have a great day.